Good morning, church. Jesus bore the wrath of our God for all humankind, past and present. He took all of our sins so that we can be held blameless when we die. God cannot stand the smell of sin, so he turned his back on his Son. By doing this, Jesus paid our debt and wiped the slate clean. Christ's work on earth, especially his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, was the turning point for humanity at which God accomplished salvation for us all. Ultimate purpose in the fullness of time is to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. God had this plan from the beginning. From Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not done yet, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths.
Thank you.
to read. Please read with me, brothers and sisters, the responsive reading, Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless go hungry. So God, through Solomon, wants us to be fruitful members of our society. He tells us that we have to pull our own weight and not be lazy, or we will go hungry. To those studying the Bible and taking pastor's courses, we have to energetically attend to our studies or we'll fall behind. Common sense wisdom, work and be fruitful.
Amen. Thank you. You know, as we sang the songs today, just reflecting back on Charlie Kirk, when that assassin took his life, he opened his eyes to see his Savior, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he's walking with a Savior right now. But we need to pray for healing. Healing for his wife and for his two children. Healing for this nation. Healing for the church. Revival in the church. Don't let Charlie's death go in vain. If there's anything it should teach us, it should teach us to be bold for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a passage today that talks about a church that started very well and still had some life in it, but they got lazy. And we'll talk about all the reasons for that in a moment. But I want to let this verse sink in. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and shiftlessness go hungry. We had a brief meeting Wednesday after theological roundtable for those going through the pastoral ordination program. There's 10, and Chip is one of them, by the way. And as we're talking about the workload and what was involved, I said to the people present, you know, it's going to take some sacrifice. Maybe you have to watch less television. And right away I saw people go, what? Yeah, I mean, there's only so many hours a day. Maybe we have to stop being couch potatoes, right? When laziness hits a church, it is devastating, devastating. And so as we develop that in a moment, I want to look at and pray for Charlie's widow and his kids, and that God would just provide for them in every way. I can't even imagine what they're going through. Neither can you. But God knows. And God won't abandon them. That's his promise to every believer. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, it has been just a very rough time. I think of Mrs. Kirk and the two young children. My prayer is very simple, Father. They have the assurance of knowing where Charlie is. And yet, they miss him, as they should. They're mourning, Father, the loss of this man, a loving husband, loving father, and a Christ lover. And Father, it is my prayer that we don't forget to pray for people going through times like this. That we lift up his wife, ask that you provide for her in this time physically, spiritually, emotionally. For the kids, that you hold them close to you and just give them the assurance that Charlie is in good hands. I pray for the family of that young woman who was brutally stabbed on a train coming home from work. In an instant, Father, life is taken again. I continue to pray for those families who lost loved ones in the church shooting at a Catholic school. Father, we live in a hurting world, and only Jesus can bring hope. And we thank you that we can say, just as Jesus conquered the grave and he lives today, that Charlie is walking with his Savior in heaven. So, Father, thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gospel. Watch over the Kirk family. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask whoever can help with the collection, if you would come up now. Let's pray. Father, as we give to the work of the gospel, just in 2 weeks, we will be at Lacey Day, talking with folks who need the Lord. Would you guard the language, Father? Help us to not make politics an issue, but help us to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for anyone who visits our booth that they would come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray for that right now. We pray for good weather. We pray for no impediments. And, Father, as we take this collection, I pray you bless the gift and the giver. May we use it to freely give out the gospel as we will do on Lacey Day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Because things needed to be said. And so let me just do announcements right now. If you're going to be a part of the Sunday school, which starts next week at 9:30, we're going to start you off easy with bagels from JT's and coffee. Please sign up so we know how to prepare and what to bring. Sign up's on the board. The other thing, too, is we still need help with Lacey Day. I know Dana Fuji from Toms River Community Church, she is going to come down to help, and I think her mom might be there also. So if you can help out with any part of Lacey Day, please sign up for that. I just want to make sure we don't miss anything here. Also next week, the Kelsey School of Theology starts up at Toms River Community Church. At 12:05, I will do the first class on Isaiah, and I will start preaching on Isaiah next week. So it's going to be a busy Sunday, so I hope you can come and take advantage of that. Sharon, would you come up? Sharon's going to sing a solo. Oh.
I'm not crazy about microphones, but that's okay. Choir starts next week, next Monday, 7 o'clock. If you think that you would like to worship through song, this is what we're doing. And guess what the title is? Hope was born this night. This is a way, when you join and you sing with us, that you can focus on Jesus and the reason for the season instead of all the other stuff. So every week we sing. Even if you think you can't read music, it's not a problem. We bring ways for you to learn the songs. So give it a shot. Be sure to pray about it, because the Lord can really bless you with this. You don't have to be a member. It's fine. Just come on out a week from tomorrow. Thank you.
You're curious. I'm convinced, well, God gave us the gift of music. And if you don't like singing, tough. You will learn to like it if you're a Christ follower, because that's part of what we're going to do in heaven. But music is powerful. Music is, I believe, one of the best ways to communicate the gospel. So come and be a part of that, if you wish. It's amazing, as we advertise the cantatas, we usually, believe it or not, get about 100 people in here, and they'll hear the gospel, so be a part of that. Also, on the 25th of September, Lorraine is going to be starting her Bible study on the book of James.
Yay.
Women, right?
Yay.
That's kind of weak, guys. You got to take lessons from the men, right?
Men.
There you go. The book of James is a great study. Book of James caused a lot of controversy with the early church fathers, and you'll find out why, but it is nonetheless part of the Bible, and we can learn a lot from it. Why? Because it's God's word. So come and be a part of that. All right. Also, on the 28th is our target date for our special collection for to get the signs fixed outside. So if you can keep that in mind, that would be great. And October 1st, which is just around the corner, believe it or not, the money for Sight and Sound is due, right? Okay. So if you guys haven't paid for that. Now, on this, is this yellow? I can't tell. Okay. There's a whole lot of announcements there. Please read it. Put it up on your refrigerator. And please don't call me and say, when's this? When's that? It's right there. So that would be good. All right, any questions? We've got a lot to do. October's going to be busy, and then we're at Thanksgiving. So this year's going to end pretty fast. Listen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the passage first. A little different today, because I want you to hear the tone of the passage. This is Paul's final instructions in his letter to the church of Thessalonica. Paul was the founding pastor of the church in Thessalonica. And people came to know the Lord. They formed a church. Paul stayed with them and he organized them. And as I read this, I want to emphasize to you that this was a young church. When I say young, I'm talking about not necessarily an age, although it had all ages in it. I'm talking about in its existence. So it wasn't maybe more than a couple of years old. And Paul had to address a problem in it. And here's the problem. Would you listen, please? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to you, any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right for such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ, to settle down and earn the food they eat. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet, do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this letter in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark of all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Wow. In my 37 years of ministry, I probably preached on this 10, 12 times as I preached through the Bible, as I spoke at other churches, as I spoke at conferences and that type of thing. And inevitably, somebody will come up to me afterwards and say, I can't work. Oh, okay. That's between you and God. Now, there are reasons why people can't work, legitimate reasons. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are able to work, who don't work, choose not to work. And Paul had this problem. Now, having said that, let me say this. In our culture, we have retirement, right? And that's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with retiring from a job you've done for 20, 25, 30 years. That's fine. But here's what we need to realize. The scripture knows nothing of retirement. Not for a believer. Doesn't mean you have to keep working. What it does mean is that if you've been blessed where you could retire, and every Monday morning I feel like that, if you've been blessed where you can retire, that doesn't mean it's the end for you. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you got to get busy doing things for the kingdom of God. And that doesn't include being a couch potato. That doesn't include just taking the Bible and putting it over here and say, it'll penetrate. No, it doesn't happen like that. When believers become lazy, she agrees. When believers become lazy in a church, it's trouble. They start to gossip. They start to whisper in people's ears. They start to put a lot of energy into being divisive and sometimes disruptive. It hurts a church drastically. There's plenty to do in a church. Plenty to do. We had a leadership meeting this past week. Was it this past week? Yeah. It's been a long week. And, you know, I said to the leaders, we got to get busy. We need to get busy. Not busy just doing work that means nothing, but busy doing the Lord's work. And I don't care what that is. Some people clean the church. Thank God. Right? Just like we need sanitation people. Thank God. Important. But we need to get busy doing it for the glory of God, not for anybody else's glory, doing it for the glory of God. Thank you that there are people in the church that takes care of finances. There are people in the church that pray. That's invaluable. Thank you, there are people in the church that sing and are willing to sing in a choir. Give up a Monday night to come for a greater purpose. You know, over the years, even when we first started here, I had no problem cleaning the bathrooms. None at all. It's not below me because I'm the pastor. It was an honor to do it because I did it for the Lord. And I knew that when people came to visit, at least we would be presentable. Listen, if idleness is left unchecked, it will result in gossip and divisiveness and all sorts of issues. We can choose to use our spiritual gifts to help others or to call attention to ourselves or to ignore them totally. In any case, there's no place in the body of Christ for busybodies. Did you get the play on words? But in the original language, it's a play on words where Paul says, listen, they become busybodies. We don't talk like that anymore, do we? What's a busybody? Does anybody want to take a shot? Yeah. Yeah, somebody in somebody else's business. Now, here's the rub. This passage is saying to the church, not just the pastor, but to the church. When we see this in the congregation church, you need to address it. It's everybody's responsibility. You need to address it. How do I know that? Simply because in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says this, we command you. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. We command you, brothers and sisters. That's strong language. That's actually military language. That's the language of a commander to a platoon. Keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you have received. This is called church discipline. There are not many churches in America anymore that exercise biblical discipline. Now, church discipline is not to be carried out by the pastor as a hitman or the deacon hit squad. Church discipline is everybody's responsibility. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, look, if you have this problem, go to somebody privately. Sit and talk with them. What Paul didn't say here, and what's implied, is that we need to follow the directives of Scripture when it becomes a discipline issue. First of all, we have to make sure, if we're going to confront somebody, we have to make sure our hearts are right before God, because we're no better. Secondly, we have to make sure that we come to the person in love, not with retribution, not with, you know, finger pointing. The whole purpose of church discipline is to bring people back to where they're supposed to be in love. In love. Paul's saying this. He refines it along the way. Look at this. He says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Paul, Silas, Timothy, we were with them for a while. And Paul was a tent maker. I don't know if you realize that or not. We find that out in the book of Acts. Paul made tents, a very lucrative profession back then, because when people traveled, there was no Holiday Inn. They lived in tents, right? So he made a good living. He also, when he was a Pharisee, before he met Jesus Christ, he made a good living as a Pharisee. They got paid well. But he says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. Wow. Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Sometimes you got to read between the lines in scriptures. This tells me that there were people in the church who refused to work. They were able to, they refused, and they started taking advantage of people in the church. And people, you know, basically, you know, will help, you know, give them food, you know, help them along. But listen, there has to be a limit to that when there's no good reason not to work. Because at some point you become an enabler rather than someone who needs to say, hey, come on, we need to change over here. It's amazing, you know, sometimes I get phone calls, not from people in the church, this is people outside. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the government, when they got into the welfare system, they ruined the churches in the sense that the church used to take care of people and did it right, okay? So when it changed, the strain on the government got to be a lot. And now what the government is telling people, call churches. That's what they're telling people. I get it all the time. And, okay, I ask hard questions. You know, you want food from us? You want money from us? Listen, we will help when we can establish a legitimate need. However, I have to start asking the question, where were you on Sunday? Where were you on Sunday? Yeah. Do you have a budget? Are you looking for work? Or are you just trying to prolong a situation that's not good? Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. We still battle today, right? But when a believer refuses to work and a believer can work, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. And he goes on to say, we did this not because we do not have the right to such help. And again, this is one of those messages where people come up to me afterwards and say, see that pastor, if you were a real pastor, we wouldn't have to pay you. I said, that's not what this is saying. Paul was in a different situation where he decided that his profession can support his ministry. He wasn't full-time. But look at the wording here, because we skip right over that. It says, we did this not because we do not have the right to such help. And in the original language, it would be translated this way. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, and we do. But in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. Paul's saying, look, you know how we lived before you. We try not to be a burden to anyone. You need to learn from that. You need to go on. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. I'll tell you a college story, okay? In college, I went to Rutgers in New Brunswick, which looking back was probably a mistake. But I went to Rutgers in New Brunswick and just came off both my parents dying when I was in high school in my senior year. So I was broke, I had nothing. What I used to do is I used to play weddings on the weekends. That's before DJs, by the way, that's how old I am. And I used to play at the Manor, I used to play up in the Meadowlands and all venues. And that's how I put myself through college. Well, you remember the gas shortage? The even odd stuff? It was hard to get around. And I would go 3-4 days without food because I didn't have the money. And it was ironic. I played a wedding up in the Bethwood, up in New Jersey, North Jersey. And I said, okay, at least I'm going to eat today, because when we signed contracts, it always included a meal for the band, right? So I ate, and I figured I'm going to get paid in cash. When I got back to New Brunswick on Sunday, I'd be able to go to the supermarket and buy some food. Well, I got paid in check. And back then, there was no place to cash a check on Sunday. So I had like $5. You're looking at an Italian who grew up hating garlic, believe it or not. I know, Chaz. Blasphemy, right? Blasphemy. So, yeah. So I went to the supermarket with the $5. I got margarine and garlic powder and bread. And I ate garlic bread. Now I love garlic bread. But you did what you had to do to survive, right? I was working on the weekends. I was going to school. You do what you have to do. And this one is saying, listen, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. You would never looking at me. You could ask Mary Lou, because we started dating in my senior year. But my waist was a size 32. When you go 3-4 days without eating, that's good weight control, right? But I worked. I wanted to work. When I got out of seminary years ago, I went to ShopRite because I needed to put food on the table. I had a family. The store manager came over to me and says, what are you doing here? I said, well, I didn't have a church yet, but back then. I said, listen, I'll do anything. I'll stock shelves. I don't care. I'll do anything I need to. Yeah. He says, we can't hire you. I said, why not? He says, you got a master's degree. They won't let me hire you. And I was so frustrated. See, here, I want to work. I know what you're going to pay. And I couldn't even do that. Listen, whether we like it or not, we're not entitled to a thing. Every good gift comes from the hand of God. Our jobs, our homes, our incomes, every good gift comes from the hands of God. And yet we take it for granted. Paul goes on to say, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are busy. Here's the play on words. They are busybodies, gossips. Such people, and here's the language again, we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Wow. Let me speak for a moment that not only can we be lazy when it comes to working and working for God's glory, but we can be lazy spiritually too, which is just as bad. We choose not to read the Word of God. We choose not to come to Bible studies. We choose not to come to church. That's laziness. Oh, Pastor, have a good excuse. Listen, most excuses aren't good. Because I guarantee you, for those who work, if they're not here today and they have to work tomorrow, they're going to be at work. We have to get into our mind. We don't want to play at our worship. We need to worship. at our worship. Some people even are guilty, if they have a job, they play at their jobs. That's not right either. God says, give a good day's work for a good day's pay. And here's where the church discipline comes in. Take note, special note, of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet, do not regard them as an enemy. Did you catch that? This is what's missing today. Don't regard them as an enemy. But warn them as you would a fellow believer. So if you allow me for a second to make an application here. Someone who's a Democrat is not our enemy. Somebody who's a Republican is not our enemy. Our real enemy doesn't lay outside. Our real enemy is in the spiritual realm. Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's in the heavenlies. There's spiritual battle going on, and you saw what happened when we ignore that. Do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. That should be with any church discipline. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this in my own hand, because there were a lot of deceitful people out there. Nothing's changed, right? There were a lot of deceitful people out there who would write letters to churches and sign Paul's name to it. They were false. And Paul's sign had a unique signature. He says, which is his distinguishing mark in all my letters, this is how I write. It wasn't auto pen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Listen. These last two verses are especially important. I just made a note down here. We sang the song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Loving obedience brings the peace of the Lord. The world can never take that away. Nothing could ever take that away. When we know we're being lovingly obedient to what the Word of God says, and if I read Charlie Kirk's life correct, this is what brought him peace. He was doing the will of God, and he knew it. And he rested in that. And the moment he died, Jesus said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, wow. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Well, listen, to walk in the light of his word, we got to know it. To walk in the light of his word, we got to read it. Chew on it. Digest it. And then ask the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives so we can live it. So we can glorify God in all we do. So that when we meet people and we earn the right, underline that, we earn the right to talk with them about spiritual things, we can present Jesus to them. Because what the world needs now is Jesus. So the question I want to leave you with this morning is simple. Are we willing to let God mold us into what he wants us to be? Not for our glory, for his glory. Are we willing to hear his word, read his word, study his word, chew on the word, and let it become part of our lives as the Holy Spirit helps us to apply his word to our hearts? And the last question I want to leave you with is this. Are we willing to ramp up the gospel and tone down the politics? Are we willing to do that? Kristen, if you would come up, please. You can come up with the baby. See, this is what happens when I preach. Right out. Right out. Yeah. It's good to see you, Vinny. The last song I chose is The Potter's Hand. Would you sing these words prayerfully, please? Would you stand?
Oh,
Listen, if you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's a good time to do it right now. Just right when you sit, you can do it very privately. Just confess to the Lord that we're rebels. We're sinners. That's what it means. And that you want to turn away from running from God. That's repentance, by the way. And turn to God in faith. And you know that Jesus went to the cross to die for you. To take the wrath of hell that we deserve. Because when he was nailed to that cross, he nailed our sin to the cross. All we need to do is trust him by faith alone. And he's alive. He rose from the dead. Charlie Kirk is alive like he's never been alive before because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Not because of what he did, but because of who he believed. You can do that today. Let's pray. Father, thanks. Thank you for these dear people who came out today. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship, to pray, and to sit under the ministry of your word. I urge and I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you send us away from this place with the hope of the gospel, that this world, more than ever, needs to know Jesus. And we pray this in his precious name. All God's people said,
Amen.
Not bad. Have a great day, guys.